Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me. I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. We thank God for that reading from his word. Today and between now and Easter, we're going to be taking the opportunity to reflect upon the Lord's Prayer. Those of you who are well read will know that in the New Testament there are two Lord's Prayers, two versions of the same Lord's Prayer. We have one in Matthew's Gospel that is slightly more detailed, slightly longer, very slightly different as we have it in our Bibles. And we have this version that I've read today from Luke 11, a much briefer prayer that is given by Jesus. And so in the next few weeks, I may be flitting between the two different versions of the Lord's Prayer, either the longer one or the shorter one, depending on what section we're going to be looking at. But today, we're particularly going to be reflecting upon the prayer of Jesus as we come into the Lord's Prayer, because this passage begins one day when Jesus was praying in a certain place. So before we even get to the Lord's Prayer, we have Jesus praying. And it's only with Jesus praying, when Jesus finishes praying, that one of his disciples comes to Jesus and says to him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And what seems to be apparent is that John the Baptist has gathered around himself, or has attracted to himself, disciples. Disciples of John the Baptist. They're intrigued by John. He is a prophet. He's a strange character who has lived in the wilderness for many years and now has emerged and is preaching this gospel of repentance and baptizing people. And inevitably, people are drawn to him, and they have become the disciples of John. And it appears that John has given his disciples a prayer, or prayers, or a style of prayer. If you're a disciple of John the Baptist, you pray in this way. There are certain styles or prayers that they said, that typified them, that marked them out, and we would know, well, you follow John the Baptist. You're a disciple of his. And so the disciples of Jesus, seeing Jesus praying, They come to him and say, how about us? Jesus, give us a prayer. Give us a style. Give us something that typifies us. And we will learn it. And when others come and become followers of Jesus, we will teach them this way as well. And that seems to be what is happening here. As we read, when one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And I've just got four words that I'm going to slot up on the screen that we will follow through. Natural, normal, habitual, and teachable. Key aspects of prayer that we learn here, just in this first verse. And the first is this about natural. I want to suggest today that prayer is natural. I want to suggest that prayer is natural to us. I want to suggest that prayer is within our nature. The prayer is not foreign to us. The prayer is natural. That doesn't mean to say that we don't have to learn how to do it. But just the sense of it is natural. Just as when a baby is born and is held to his mother's breast, the eyes immediately look up, looking for the mother's face. And I'm told that when a baby is born, the eyesight is not fully developed. And apparently the focal length is just a few inches, about a foot or something like that for a baby. And that focal length is just enough for that baby to focus on the mother's face and to know that sense of security and safety as they are there being held by the mother. And that is a natural thing for a baby to look up at the mother, to meet the mother's eyes. And all those, you know, we've all been there, and all those things that we say to newborn babies, all those cooing noises and affirming things that we say and do for babies. And there is just that natural sense of the baby being held. What is natural for a baby? To look, to catch the eye of the mother, even though the baby is busy feeding. And that is natural. Nobody teaches the baby to do that. It's just within them. Prayer, I want to suggest, is natural to us. It's within our nature. And you might say, I find prayer such a struggle. Yeah. You see, we've clogged up our lives with so many different things. There are so many different voices that and messages that speak to us, not just verbally, I mean just within our culture, so many other things that clog us up and deafen us with the din that is projected at us so often that it doesn't feel natural anymore. It's all these other things. But I want to suggest today that prayer is natural. I don't know if I can go so far as to say prayer is within our DNA. I don't quite know how that works, but it is natural to us to do it. And to be in prayer is to be who God created us to be. You know, to look at the Father, to catch the Father's eye, just to be there, focusing on him. That is more natural to us perhaps than anything else that we ever do. And that's where we discover who we truly are and is natural. And we see this in the experience of Jesus, and I'll touch upon this as we go through, because prayer is, I believe, natural to us. It's within our nature to pray, to communicate with our Father, to listen to our Father's heartbeat, to be that close to him, to be close enough to hear the Father's whisper to us. It is natural to us, but there's a sense of it being normal. It is not a foreign thing. It is normal to us. And particularly we see this in the life and example of Jesus. And we can skate our way through the Gospels, and there are all sorts of different examples where we see Jesus in prayer, and we see that sense of normality for Jesus. And yes, Jesus, as a Jew growing up, would have been taught, will you pray at a particular time of day? And there are some traditions today that where you pray five times a day, and the call goes out, and you pray morning, and then mid-morning, and midday, and all this kind of thing through the day, and that is where you pray. But prayer, as we see it in the life of Jesus, is not simply set to this time and that time and that time and that time, but it is just part of the pattern, the normality of the life of Jesus. Mark's Gospel, bless you, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, we have Jesus with his disciples. So much has been going on in his ministry and mission. People have been coming to Jesus and being healed and being blessed and transformed in their lives. And the news is going out, and more people are returning to be blessed by Jesus, to be healed, to be transformed, and so on in their lives. And we're told that early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place where he prays. And for Jesus, sometimes we see the normal is for him to get up well before dawn and to go to that place where he's alone. We see in Jesus the example recorded in John's Gospel chapter 11. Where he's called to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Lazarus is unwell. But you know how Jesus does this curious thing? He doesn't go immediately to Lazarus. He delays. And eventually, Jesus makes his way to Bethany, to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. By this time, Lazarus has died. And there, what does Jesus encounter? He encounters people, not just from that community, but they've come out from Jerusalem as well. It was just a couple of miles away. People apparently knew Mary and Martha and Lazarus, huge numbers of friends. And they've all gathered there, and they're weeping and they're grieving. And what do we see Jesus doing? We see him praying. Sometimes it's in the solitary place, and sometimes it's in the midst of everybody as they grieve, as they struggle with what has happened in their life, to some extent the unexpected, the unwanted, the thing that we don't want to face. We find Jesus, his normal is to pray. Or we could turn to Luke's Gospel and chapter 10. Jesus has sent out 72 disciples. We often think of Jesus having just 12. Well, he sends out 72. And he tells them what to do. They're to go out and they're to bless and they're to heal. And all they've been doing, by the sounds of it, is watching Jesus. Whatever he does, we're going to go and do. And so that's what they do. The 72 go out. And then they return. And there it's amazing. It works. It really works. You know, in the name of Jesus, this works. It's amazing. And they're rejoicing. And in the middle of all this, the disciples coming back, what does Jesus do? He prays. Jesus prays. He lifts his eyes to heaven and thanks God. He gives praise to God. He rejoices with those who are rejoicing, just as he grieved with those who were grieving. And this is normal for Jesus as he prays. Or we could turn to John's Gospel, chapter 17, where there's a long prayer, and sometimes it's called the high priestly prayer. And this is where Jesus prays for his disciples. He prays a prayer of blessing and guarding over their lives. And then he prays, he says, for all those who will believe because of their words, because of the disciples' words. And he prays for protection and help and comfort for them. And then he prays for the world. And it's as if Jesus in his prayer is expanding outwards, outwards, outwards. And he prays for the whole world. And he's praying all the time for God's blessing. It's as if, you know, the priest would stand at the end of a service and he would have his hands out, open-palmed over his people to bless them. And John 17 is very much like that, a blessing that Jesus gives to his disciples, to those who believe through the disciples, and then the world. Jesus prays. This is Jesus' normal, whether it's in a solitary place or grieving with those who grieve or rejoicing with those who rejoice or praying blessing and help and encouragement on those who need it. Or we could turn to, Matthew 26. That's where Jesus is to be found in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we find Jesus struggling. And he is struggling, isn't he? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's struggling and it feels as though he's under stress. Profound stress. What does he do? He prays. It's as if he knows the darkness that he's going to step into. And he prays, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, but let your will be done. And we see the normal for Jesus in the time of stress and agony and strain. He prays. It's almost as if he doesn't know what else he should do. That is what he does. He prays. This is his normal. And we will have been through those times of stress and strain. And I want to encourage us today that our natural move, our natural innate move is to pray. And it's not to pray prayers of rejoicing in the times of agony, but it's to pray those prayers, crying out to God. We could turn to Luke 23, where Jesus is nailed to the cross. And we're told, Luke paints the scene for us, how Jesus is on the cross and he's surrounded by those who taunt him. And the soldiers at the foot of the cross have got Jesus' garment, which we're told didn't have a seam in it, and that was a precious thing. So they don't want to, anyway, mess with this garment. So they're going to throw dice so that one of them, whoever wins the game of dice, will have that garment. And Jesus looks down at them. And he looks down at those who taunt him. Father, forgive. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And just an extraordinary move of compassion in amongst what Jesus sees as they really haven't got a clue. Compassion that we see in Jesus. Or we could even go to that chapter in Matthew, where Jesus is on the cross, Matthew 27, a very dark chapter. My God, why have you forsaken me? I've often pondered about those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where Jesus prays because that is his normal, that's his natural turning is to God, to pray. And yet, wherever else we see the prayers of Jesus and read the prayers of Jesus, if they're prefaced at all, they're prefaced with Father. But here, In Matthew 27, it's my God. Oh, God. Oh, God. And the deep, agonizing anguish that Jesus is experiencing. And even though he doesn't address his prayers to Father, but just to my God, quoting, of course, Psalm 2, we see the natural and the normal. We see, in a sense, we see in the prayers of Jesus the everyday, the everything that we could see. We see it in Jesus. Now, just very quickly, this third word, habitual, it's about forming a habit. And I think we see that in the life of Jesus, that sense of it being natural, the sense of it prayer being normal, but it's his habit. It's his habit. Talking to somebody this last week and watching them play a musical instrument. How did you get good? Have you always been good? How do you get good at a musical instrument? It's habit. It's habit. That's how you get good. How does it become more natural? How do you know? It's habit. How did Jesus, in his life, as we trace through the Gospels, how was it that Jesus made the turn to prayer? In grief, or in joy, in anguish, in suffering. How does he make? Maybe it's because prayer was his habit. And then it becomes natural to us. And it's forming the habit of prayer. And I think that's what we see in Jesus. He forms the habit. So that in the difficult times, that's his natural, obvious turn. And the encouragement for us, of course, is to form habits of prayer. Form habits of prayer. I remember hearing Professor Jim, I think it was Jim Al-Khalili, talking. Do you know Jim Al-Khalili is a TV presenter, he's a physics professor. He does all these programs about space and planets and stars. Brian Cox does them as well, but I really like Jim Al-Khalili. He's got a haircut a bit like mine. So, and I think it was him when I heard him at the Cheltenham Science Festival one time. And he was saying the thing about maths and being good at mathematics is that mathematics is a hard slog. But it's a bit like climbing a ladder. And you have to climb the rungs of the ladder and it's a hard slog. But then you come to a point where suddenly you can see it. It's as if you get it. But you don't get it unless you've done the hard work first. And the same is true of prayer. If we form the habit of prayer, we work, and we're always learning. But we form the habit of prayer. And then we get it and we understand the richness of prayer, if it's our habit. And then just finally, this word teachable. Because what we see here in the verse that I read, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, who came to him? We're told one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Do you know, there's a lot of things I would like to be good at. And I'm sure that's true of all of us. Do you know, how many people start the new year, for example, thinking, do you know, I'd like to run a marathon. As long as it wasn't hard work, I'd like to run a marathon. You know, I'd like to be a great musician. If it just happened. We like, you know, isn't that true? There's a lot of stuff we'd like to be good at. As long as it's not hard. That's why I put this word teachable in. And so easily we can say to ourselves and to others, even to God, I want to be good at prayer. I want prayer not to be my second nature, but to be my nature. To understand that my turning to my Father is just normal. It's natural, that it's a habit and so on. We can say that. But how teachable are we? How teachable are we? And the encouragement to say, okay, I will do what it takes so that I might be a prayer. I will do whatever it takes so that I may know that sense of naturalness and normality in my prayer. And I won't be, with the encouragement of everybody else as well, I won't be one, you know, who's broken my New Year's resolution by Friday, you know. But I'll do my bit. I want to be teachable. And maybe that can be us. And if we're to be disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, another word for that is learners of Jesus. Learners of the way of Jesus. And my encouragement for each one of us today is prayer is natural. I believe, genuinely believe, it is within our nature. Absolutely. It is normal. It's normal to pray in every circumstance, in every way. It's important, as is in the life of Jesus, the habit, lifestyle, forming the habit of prayer. But in order for all this to bear fruit, we need to be teachable. We need to be teachable. You know, we could say, how many folk in the last year have learnt something new? I'm not going to ask, you know. I wonder how many of us have learnt something new in the last year. I know I've met people in the past who've said to me, "Well, you know, I'm such and such an age, and I reckon I know everything I'm ever going to know." And I'm going, "What? What? Do you know what is your life made of? Nothing inspires me more than when I learn something new, doesn't it, you?" But in order for that to happen, I have to be teachable. Because if you're not teachable, you just say no to it. And so with prayer, just that sense of life and vitality that comes because we're teachable and we learn something new. And I am praying, and I hope in these next few weeks, as we move into Lent and then make our journey towards Easter, and as we reflect each week on the Lord's Prayer, we might, each one of us, be teachable and know the joy of learning from the Master himself. So let's pray together now. Father, we thank you that you are our Father. Father, we confess that it is so natural to turn to you and to know that our home is to be at rest with you. Father, teach us in prayer. Teach us the joy of prayer. Teach us the encouragement of prayer. Teach us the blessing of knowing that you walk with us each day. May your rich blessing rest upon us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.